Hello, and welcome to Max XP for RPGs, the podcast where I talk about RPGs, but also whatever the frick I want because it's my podcast. So, I had to make a quick run, so I thought I'd do this while I'm making a quick run. It is Thanksgiving Day for me, but this podcast is probably going to go up a few days after that. So anyway, probably over the weekend, so hopefully your weekend's going well. How you doing? How in the world did you find this? So, let's see. Still playing Pokemon Shining Pearl. And, I got my seventh gym badge, and I'm, I went through the Team Galactic HQ, and, I feel like such a dummy. I have been looking forever to find fossils in the Grand Underground. I finally found one, and then I went to a hiker dude, and I thought he was like, oh, if you give me this many gems, or whatever they are, spheres, then you can get another of whatever you've already dug up. But I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. It turns out he was actually just buying stuff that I dug up underground, and I accidentally sold my fossil, and it clicked in my head what I had just done, I was like, I feel sick. Oh, that was not a smart thing for me to do. Oh, suck nugget. Now I have to go find another freaking fossil, and it's going to take me another week. So that sucked. And then I've been slathering trees with honey so I can get a Heracross. And I found one. And then, it only took, two and a half days for one to show up. But finally had one that came out of the tree. And then I had to put my Switch in sleep mode because I had to go take care of my baby really quick. And then when I picked it back up, I wasn't paying attention, as you tend to do when you're exhausted, and accidentally reset it. So when I went back in, I lost the Heracross because the game had auto-saved when I went into sleep mode. So I just lost the Heracross. So now I'm back to looking for another one. And, I think I'm gonna put a pause on the game until I can track down a freaking Heracross. Ugh, that just about killed me. That was, the worst dumb thing I've ever done. So, anyway, that's what my Pokemon world is up to right now. So today, kind of talking about an RPG, where we're talking about Shin Megami Tensei, but we're actually talking about the book that inspired it, a book called Digital Devil Saga Megami Tensei, which translates to, Digital Devil Saga Resurrection of the Goddess. It's the first book of a saga, if I remember correctly, but I've actually read it, read a rough English translation. And there's some parts in the book that are you kind of went a little too far with some of this. Even if this wasn't a movie, and this is supposed to be Shin Megami Tensei, people between the ages of 17 and older are playing it. It is a rated M game. At least Shin Megami Tensei 5 was. I don't know about the rest of them. I think the rest of them are T. Maybe Shin Megami Tensei 5 is only rated T. Anyway, most likely you're going to have kids, if they're interested in that, between the ages of, 13 and, however old, maybe up in their 40s, I don't know, that are interested in Shin Megami Tensei, particularly the book, Digital Devil Saga. And there's some things in there that even me, as a nearly 30-year-old, I'm like, dude, I think you went a little too far. There's some things in there that's like, did you really have to be that descriptive with that particular thing? And other things that are just extremely, extremely sexual in nature. And it involves high school kids, so it's some of these things are a little uncomfortable. But honestly, I just kind of skipped past some of those sections, and the story is actually pretty interesting. The story revolves around a high school student named Nakajima Akami, who at the time, it was probably like the late, you know, mid to late 70s or something like that when the book takes place. Maybe even the early 70s, I don't know, but like nobody's really considering computers, but Nakajima is a computer genius. So he, he even like makes his own games and stuff that people just fall in love with. They like him more than the commercial releases. But he finds a way by studying magic theory and finds out that magic theory and computer theory are actually very similar. So he begins developing a program to summon a demon. And the demon he ends up summoning is Loki. And, so that's where it starts. And everything ends up going haywire because it turns out Loki is too hard to control. And, you know, obviously Loki in Nordic mythology is the god of mischief, so he's highly intelligent. And anyway, the book kind of takes some interesting twists and turns, and there's some tragedies involved, but it ends on a pretty good note. So, like, when I finished it, I was like, that was actually, I mean, it wasn't amazing by any means, but it wasn't terrible. There were some scenes that occurred in the book that I was like, yeah, that's questionable. But the overall story, I was like, this is pretty interesting, and it ends on a note that's like, you know, this could be kind of where the book itself ends, and you just kind of play the game, and that's just like any of the games, really, and that's just how things ended up, more or less. But simultaneously, the book kind of ends on a note that makes it somewhat standalone, but there's a little bit there that's like, well, there is more to the story. And obviously there is. It's a whole saga of books, but I found it actually very interesting. And anybody who likes the Shin Megami Tensei and likes kind of that, like, you know, Japanese folklore, because it does involve some Japanese mythological figures as well. Excuse me, sorry. And obviously heavily involves Loki. Loki becomes a very difficult to overcome antagonist. And I thought, like, if this was adapted a little bit differently, like, you know, you took out a lot of the sexual overtones and undertones, and you kind of tapered off some of the overly graphic descriptions and stuff, it could probably actually make a very interesting movie or TV show, because there's enough there to make something interesting. Just it would definitely have to be adapted in a way that's, I wouldn't necessarily say censored, more like adapted in a way to where it isn't too much, because there's definitely a line that you can cross where, you know, even the hardiest people will find it disturbing enough to be like, okay, you've delved a little too far into the macabre. I think we need to kind of reel back and touch base in reality, and then see how far we can go from there. So, anyway, it was an interesting read. Not something I would recommend to everybody, though. It definitely is an interesting enough premise, but if, you know, dealing with the macabre and dealing with, sexual undertones involving minors and death and terrorizing involving minors, there's a lot to it that could certainly be considered disturbing. So keep that in mind if you're even thinking about looking into it. But overall, not terrible. I haven't actually played Shin Megami Tensei 5 in a couple couple of, well, it's been about a week now. Now that I don't like it, I just got sucked into Pokemon Shining Pearl. And Shining Pearl has just been such an addicting game that I haven't been able to turn away from it. It's just so good. So I think when I finish Shining Pearl, I'm going to jump back into Shin Megami Tensei 5. Because there's the thing that interests me most about that game is how it involves different mythologies, you know, from Celtic and Nordic and obviously Japanese, but also others like, you know, Greek and Mediterranean and Egyptian. There's so much that they pull in terms of mythologies from all over the world. There's even some Aztec and Native American stuff that gets thrown in there, and it's like these guys must have like thoroughly studied all sorts of mythologies. So yeah, that stuff interests you. Do try out Shin Megami Tensei 5, and if the book interests you, try and track down an English version if that's the language you speak, hopefully, because that's the language of this podcast. But anyway, that's all I have for today, so we'll see you next time.